I love that song. We're going to begin tonight with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'd like to look at verses 9 and 10, and we'll look at some other passages as well. Because thinking about heaven and how we get there. And you know, I'm convinced that this old idea that people used to throw in our face that you're too heavenly minded to be of any earthly good is just exactly the opposite. We need to be more heavenly minded because this world's not our home. We need to be ready. And the good thing is when we realize that heaven is our home, then we can prepare for it and serve the Lord here. Verse 9 and 10 of 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." And then it says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. You know, Jesus taught us that heaven is real, and we ought to realize that. And that's our goal. That's where we're headed. Surely we know we want to serve the Lord down here until then, but we want to think about heaven as a place worth going to. Someone once mentioned to the believers here, said it must be hard to serve God when you got everything you could ever imagine. That was a believer from behind the Iron Curtain after it all fell apart and they were able to converse more freely with the Christians in this side of the world. And I thought of their statement, they think we've got everything. Of course, we don't. And the other thing is, we're not as thankful as we ought to be for what we do have. But think about heaven, it's so much better. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." You see, Jesus looked at the goal. We've been going through Mark's gospel, looking on the way to the cross, and we see the challenges that are given and his messages, and all that time he knew what was coming. We'll come to the scene in Golgotha, or the scene in the garden on the way to Golgotha, and as he prayed, he knew what was coming. It was a terrible thought to become sin for us. Think of that. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so all that, why could he do it? Because he knew what would be the result. He looked at the end. You know, sometimes we're so short-sighted in our experience in this world that we only think of the here and now. But the here and now is going to be gone. A few short years. Maybe if we're really blessed with health, we'll live to be 90 or 100. But still, forever is a whole lot longer. And that's what we're looking at. We're looking at heaven. That assurance gave Jesus the determination and the example set for us that we could look for where we're headed, that we would say, it will be worth it all when I see Jesus. And that's the thing that's on my heart tonight, thinking of loved ones that have gone on and dear ones from our church have gone on. And I think of many, many years here. We've done a lot of funerals. I can't remember them all. I remember the first one was Mrs. Poling. I don't know if any of you still remember her. She lived down in Township Park over there, not far from where Bob August used to live. And she passed away early on in here. And then there's many others through the years, a lot of your relatives. And they're in heaven if they knew the Lord. Isn't that good? We're going to see them again. And we ought to realize that should encourage us to live for him now. Now, I know there's rewards talked about in the scripture, and they're wonderful. I don't want to deny them a bit. But just to be with the Lord and to see our dear ones again, that's going to be so wonderful, isn't it? And I think of the verses in 1 Thessalonians 4, where it talks about looking for Jesus to come back, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and all that. And it says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." See, we're not as others that have no hope. We have a future. We have a promise from God. And that ought to encourage us. In Hebrews 11, 13 through 16, talking about the heroes of the faith, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embrace them and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Oh, that's a beautiful, beautiful thought. That's what I was singing about. God's preparing a place for us in heaven. The Lord Jesus has said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again and return and take you up to be with me forever. So we have that blessed assurance of his second coming, but also to know where we have all these things. We don't know all the details between now and then, but we know we have a sure promise of God of victory. We don't know all the things are going to happen. I mean, who would have thought 43 years old to die in her sleep? But could be us tomorrow. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away, James 4:14 says. I always think of that illustration, that image of the steam rising out of the kettle on the stove. And you take it off the stove, you pour it in the cup, and that steam dissipates so fast. And that's our life. It's here for a moment and it's gone. Christians ought to realize that heaven gives us impetus to be ready to meet the Lord. C.S. Lewis said, if you read history, you find that the Christians who did the most for this present world were precisely those who thought the most of the next. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this world. He said it a little fancier than I said it, but it's still true, isn't it? If we're so worried about the pleasures here and now, we'll forget about the things that are going to last forever in heaven, eternal value. That's why we're challenged to live for God here and now. Not just because we don't want to sin and lose rewards. Surely that ought to be one reason. And another reason, we don't want to hurt the Lord, want to grieve the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed in the day of redemption. And quench not the Spirit. We've got all those warnings. We don't want to be under chastisement of God for disobedience. But think about the opportunity we have to do what we won't have opportunity to do in heaven. That is to be used of God to tell others. He said, ye are ambassadors for Christ. I beseech you, and Christ said, be reconciled to God. We are representing him in this world. You know, these people that are going through confirmation now in Washington that the president has nominated for various things and all that hubbub's going on down there. It's an honor to be nominated, don't you think? By the president, even if you were nominated by the former president, it was an honor to those people because it's a mighty responsible position. But you know what? We've got a better one. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, who came down here in this world and died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and did what nobody's ever done, rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And there were some people who were resurrected, who died, and Jesus brought them back to life, but Jesus rose again. There's a little different, you know. He, as God the Son, he reached down and he brought some back from the dead, but they died again. Jesus rose again, never to die again. He's got a new body, glorified body, and it's in heaven. We're going to get one someday. Isn't that an exciting thought? Our life, our hope, think of these three things that we have. We have a promise that Jesus made. I referenced it earlier, but I'm going to read it again, John 14. 1 through 3, the promise Jesus made that he's going to prepare a place for us. These words we often use when we're saying goodbye to loved ones, and I think they are also applicable to every aspect of our lives when we realize he's not here with us physically, but he's here with us spiritually. And he's thinking about us even now. He's working in our behalf. In John 14:1, it says, let not your heart be troubled. In other words, you can be troubled. You can let things get you down if you're not careful. You have the ability to not do it, but you also have the danger of doing it. And how many people do you know worried about everything? Worried about what's going to happen tomorrow, what the stock market's going to do, what's going to happen if this person is not approved or that person gets in and tries to do. Let not your heart be troubled. Why? You believe in God. Do you believe God's in control? You believe God is God. I mean, that's such a big thing. Believe also in me, Jesus said. I mean, once you get the foundation that God is there and he's not, you believe in him, Jesus Christ, who he is. He's God the Son. And then he goes on to the promise about heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So we have a promise of him bringing us to be in his very presence in a beautiful place. Now, I don't know what all it's going to be like. I don't know if we'll all have an individual mansion like some have thought, or we'll all have a room in the big mansions. It doesn't really matter to me. We'll be with the Lord and our loved ones. And there'll be no more sin, no more sickness. That's going to be a blessing once again. You know, we're thankful for God for what is in heaven, but we're going to be thankful for what isn't there. No more arguing. Praise God. In the song I sang, no more complaining. Nobody fighting for supremacy against somebody else. We're all going to be looking to Jesus. We have a blessed time. And then he continues on in John 14. He said, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I went on and read the rest of those because of this. He is the way. That's all you need, Jesus. Someone told the story of a rich man who passed away, and he had a great auction after his death, and all the people gathered to bid on the stuff, and the auctioneer came, and the first thing that came up was a portrait of the son of this rich man. This son had died in his youth, and someone had painted a picture. It wasn't a fancy picture, really. It wasn't a very artistic one, if you're an art critic, but it was the son, and that was the first item, and the auctioneer held it up, and nobody wanted to bid. Let's get on to the good stuff. Finally, an old man in the back who'd worked for him, the gardener, he said, well, I've got $10. That's all I got, but I'd like to have that picture. He said, all right, sold. And he said, that's it. It's over. They said, what? We want the good stuff. We want all the... He said, who buys the son gets it all. You know, that's what happens with us, isn't it? When you trust Christ, you receive the son, you get it all. All the blessings of this blessing on earth and in heaven forever. And then there's a prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17. This is actually truly the Lord's prayer. We talk about our Father which art in heaven. That's the disciples' prayer, because the Lord responded to them where they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he says, after this manner, therefore pray ye. And he gave us that, some people refer to it, the Our Father. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's the disciples' prayer. The Lord's prayer is found here in John 17, where he prays to the Father for us. And it's a beautiful prayer. I'm going to take time to read it. It's only 26 verses, but if you want to follow along in your scripture in John 17, listen to how he prayed for us. You see, he's praying for us right now. These words are recorded. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me have I kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that where they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. What a beautiful prayer. I'll not go into all the details there, but I noticed some things very quickly. He mentions over and over the fact that he has done his part. He's done for us what we couldn't do. He paid the price on Calvary. He left heaven's glory. He humbled himself and became a man, obedient even unto the death of the cross. All those things involved in the ministry of Christ. And then he mentions over and over his word. It came from God, given to us. We have it in the Bible, the written word of God. And that's to encourage us. And then I'm encouraged by the fact that he has a goal. We're going to all be together in heaven. That's the only time we're all going to be together, by the way. There'll be problems down in this world. The closer we are to him, though, the closer we'll be to each other. Have you ever thought of that? If people would realize our relationships horizontally are affected by our relationships vertically. So the closer you are to God, the closer you are to other people are to God. You see, it's like a triangle. If you're two people here and they're both getting closer to God, they're getting closer to each other. One of them's down here away from God, they're away from the other, you see. That's why it's so important that we keep our relationship with God. And then the last thing I was going to emphasize here is about sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. How do we get right with God and get more holy? Sanctification is becoming like God. Of course, it also means set aside for his service, but we also understand the aspect of abstaining from evil and doing what's right. Living for God, sanctification. Oh, we have to dwell in the Word of God and let the Word of God dwell richly in us. But we also realize God has to work through us. And he tells us in another chapter about the Holy Spirit he would send, our Comforter. And of course, he's in us now since the Lord left this world physically. And so all that, he's interested in us. Verse 18 emphasized that, or excuse me, not 18, verse 20. Not for these only, but also for them which shall believe on me through their word. That's talking about us. The disciples were there in his presence as he prayed this prayer, and they had an influence on others and others, and it passed on through the ages down to us. Think about, what about the ones that we speak to that will come to know Christ? He's interested in them as well. And as I began earlier talking about, we are ambassadors for Christ. Think about that. We have that opportunity to represent him to men and women on this earth. We have a wonderful thing that we have. And then finally, the last passage I would look to is the price Jesus paid. Of course, I've referenced it already, but 2 Corinthians 5. It talks about this wonderful thing that Jesus has done for us. He died on the cross for our sins, as he promised to do. I can't say enough about that because that is the gospel. In verse 6, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful promise? He's going to take us to be with him someday. 1 Thessalonians 4 that I referenced earlier about we're waiting for the shout. The Lord is going to come from heaven, and the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, we got a promise of heaven. Sometimes when we leave this world from one location to another in our life here on earth, we get homesick. As I heard the news this earlier today about my sister, I thought, you know, memories of growing up and all that. But, you know, when we get to heaven, I don't think we're going to look back on this old world too much, do you? We're going to be so thankful to be there, and it'll be worth it all. And we may say, well, it's a culture shock changing from one place to another. But heaven's going to be so good. So what I come to the conclusion this evening in thinking about all the blessings the Lord has given us in promising us heaven. How we receive it, just so simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So praise God for that. Trust him. Look to him. Pray God give that comfort to others. And then seek to share Christ with those around you that don't know him. We do that through living right and also telling them with our voice. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for the